Hi, everyone. Welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. You know, the other day, my son and I were taking a drive through Virginia, and we decided we wanted to go down through the Blue Ridge Parkway. It was a great idea, right? Well, about 4 or 5 hours in, we decided it may not have been such a good idea because we were spending all our time just trying to stay on the road. And the view was just amazing. We loved the scenery, but after a while we were like, oh, what? So it's one of those things where we sometimes don't realize the long end view of what we're doing. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So we're going to start with a word of prayer. We'll talk about our message, read some scripture. We'll have communion later on if you want to prepare for that now. We'll close with a benediction. So that's kind of how we're going to do things today. And I'm so glad you can be here with us for it. So let's begin with prayer. Father, Son, Spirit, thank you that we don't do life by ourselves. It is always meant for us to do life in you, with you, in your presence, and with one another. And so we ask today that you will speak, that we will hear, and that your word will just take root in our hearts and lives through Jesus our Lord and by your Spirit. Amen. Like I was saying, here we are. We're driving on this road, and we're going through this great scenery, but then it's like after a while, we're not certain this was such a good idea after all. The thing is as we make choices in life, and we're going to make choices because that's part of the human thing, that's what we do, right? We make choices. As we're making choices, we're meant to be guided by the spiritual realities. In other words, we're not living out here in the middle of nowhere, governed by ourselves. Empowered by ourselves, we would not exist if God were not sustaining us by the power of his word. If he had not given us life, we would not exist. And so whatever we do, we are meant to do in relationship with God as his stewards, you know, being made stewards of this world in which we live. And so what Paul in the book of Romans, we've been going through Romans lately, what he's been trying to help us see is that every one of us is in need of God's grace. Every one of us cannot really get it right. We don't always consider the consequences of our choices. And even so, God did what it was needed so that we could still be held in his life and love and participate with him in his divine life. And we've all been included in Christ, whether we realize it or not and are participating or not. That's the truth. That's the spiritual reality. And God wants us to come to faith in Christ, to trust in his provision for us, to trust in God's love, and just to rest in Christ, and whatever we do in life, to do it in Christ. And so, because God has done everything that is needed, how did he do this? He did this by coming himself in the person of Jesus Christ to live our life, die our death, and rise again. And he sent us the Spirit. Our response to that, and that's what it is, it's a response. It doesn't earn anything. Whatever we do, it's a response in gratitude to all God has already done. Is we give our lives away in service to God and others. Isn't that interesting? Because we have received so much from God that we didn't deserve, we give ourselves away in service to others. So that's what Paul is saying here, the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1 to 8. And this is the New American Standard Bible. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And there's different ways of saying that. It's a holy offering. It's a spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now it says, do not be conformed to this world. And that language there is actually to not be conformed to the rituals and the religious box of the world in which he was living at that time. And so he's saying, don't get stuck in that space. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so we can know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And being transformed, the word transform, of course, is from the root of that we get the word metamorphosis from. You know, it's that transforming from being a caterpillar crawling around eating leaves all the time into the cocoon where everything is just melted down and then made new into a butterfly and something that flies and drinks nectar and then reproduces and produces fruit, in other words. So we need to keep that picture in our mind. He's saying, you know, that old way of crawling about, you know, self-serving, eating, you know, that's done. You have a new life that's going to produce good fruit. So he says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we see some different ways God is expressing himself through us individually, unique to us, through these gifts of the Spirit. So in order for us to understand and determine, this is what he was starting to say, is in order to determine what it is God asks of us, we need to have our minds renewed. How do we have our minds renewed? Well, we look at Jesus. What are some of the ways we look at Jesus? One of the ways is to actually read the Word of God, the written Word of God, to learn, not only learn about Jesus, but by the Spirit begin to grow in our relationship with Jesus and getting to know him personally. So that involves prayer, meditation, silence, contemplation, a lot of the spiritual disciplines. Those are ways that we don't like the word discipline, but we practice ways of growing in our relationship with God. That's the thing. And so as we practice those things, our minds become renewed as we learn more about who God is, who we are in him, through our relationship with Jesus Christ and Spirit. And so as we have our minds renewed, as we get to know more about who God is and who we are in him, we keep our focus where? On Jesus Christ, the one who's the true human, the one we were always meant to look like and act like, because he is the Son of God in human flesh. And so we want to keep our mind on things above, not on things on this earth. When we're focused on the things on this earth, we can get dragged away into, you know, what Paul was saying there. You know, don't be conformed to this world, to this world's way of doing things, of trying to appease God or earn God's favor or try to be good enough for God. That's all just wrong ways of living. That's not what we're created for. We're already included in God's life and love through Christ. He gives us the Spirit so we can begin to experience that and participate in that and be, live in that union and communion with the Father through Jesus and the Spirit. And so we want to keep our focus there because that's the truth of our existence. And we don't want to focus on human standards, on rituals, which are helpful because they remind us of the spiritual realities, but that's what they are. They're reminders, they're pointers. They're not meant to become our obsession. And we don't want to focus on the ungodly ways of conducting our lives because that all died with Christ. I mean, that was on the cross with Christ. We're done with that. We don't need that anymore. And so we don't want to focus on those things. We want to focus on Christ, on things above. And so God's grace to us in the gifts of the Spirit, these are spiritual gifts. And the Spirit, interestingly enough, gives each of us these unique gifts, but in such a way that he binds us together. And he means us to be one together. That looks a lot like who? The Trinity. Father, Son, Spirit are unique persons who are equal, and yet they're one. Three persons in one being. And so that we're to look like that. The Spirit binds us together in Christ. And our purpose of our gifts is not for us to have self-glory or to try to be somebody. They're to serve. They're for the benefit of all. They're to bless and serve and help others. Even the gifts of leadership are meant to be servant leadership. They're meant to help serve, give, things like that. So God intends our everyday lives to be poured out in generosity and compassion and love and service, because that's what we're created for. I mean, that is the kingdom life. That's the way Jesus poured his life out. And so we are in Christ, so our lives are meant to be poured out in the same way. And this is the life in the kingdom of God. This is the way it is. We're no longer self-centered, self-absorbed, self-willed. Notice who's in the center, self. You know, God honors ourselves, but it's always meant to be in relationship, in dependency upon him. He is Father, Son, Spirit, Lord of all. And so what we do is in him, in God. We're spirit absorbed or God absorbed. We're Christ-centered. Our life is in Christ, and in Christ we're in God. We're God-willed. In other words, God is the one who sets the agenda, and we follow that. And that can become a daily prayer for us. You know, Lord, what would you have me do today? It becomes our mantra for our lives is, Lord, okay, what do you want me to do today? And boy, that can be a real challenge because self just likes to be in charge. You know, it's hard to give that up, and it's a daily challenge. And so, but God is calling us to be who we are, to be his children, to be his beloved in Christ, and he wants us to live in the truth of who we are in Christ. And so that becomes our daily life. And of course, this, you know, understand, and I talk a lot about the ideals, the spiritual realities, and that one day will be the reality when Christ returns in glory. In this life, it's a real challenge to even get to that place. So it's all of grace. And that's what I want to remind us of, is all of grace. And that's the point of the book of Romans. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. We can do nothing apart from Christ. He himself said, I do nothing apart from the Father. And so when he was here on earth, that's how he lived his life, in full dependency upon the Father and the Spirit. We live in full dependency upon Christ and the Spirit. And so it's all of grace. And that can be our encouragement as we try to live this life out. And our everyday life then is a new offering, a new self-offering. Remember, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you will, what, lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me. So what is your cross? I mean, what is it that you need to lay down and in order to follow Christ? And it's an everyday thing. You know, every day there's something new, some new way in which we offer ourselves. One more time we offer ourselves in sacrifice to God and others. And we are reminded that God gives us gifts and abilities and talents, experiences, education. He endows us with so much. And you may think, oh, I have nothing. But there's something that you have that's uniquely yours, that he has given you, that's a gift. And those things are not meant to please ourselves, to glorify ourselves at all, but to be laid down on the altar in service to God and others, to do God's will in this world, to do his kingdom work. And his kingdom is present and real through Christ in the Spirit. We're living in the midst of it right now. We will be living in the fullness when Christ returns in glory. In the meantime, we live our lives as stewards, as those participating in what God's doing in this world. It gives our life meaning and worth and value. We're not just aimlessly trying to figure out why we're here. We have a reason. We've been given these things, and they're to serve God and others. And it can be it's an adventure. It's a journey. It's a life that we live through Christ in the Spirit. We rest in Christ. He has done the hard labor. He's brought us into relationship with the Father and the Spirit. We're held in their life and love. We live in his kingdom. He's the Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we honor his Father, his King, and we live and rest in that relationship. And we, as we live this out, and we daily lay down our lives, and we look to Christ to be renewed in our minds and hearts, eventually we'll discover that we begin to start looking more like Christ. And that's good news. That's good news. That's what God has always meant from the beginning. But it's something he does. And he does it in us and through Christ in the Spirit. He works that out. And what do? We participate by offering ourselves to him in daily sacrifice, in service, and love. And so we're reminded, you know, in the context of this all, we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We have new life in him, right? We rose with Christ. We share in his glory now and forever. Now by the Spirit, forever in glory. We look forward to when everything will find its culmination when Christ returns. And brings in the new heaven and the new earth. So we look forward to that. So in the meantime, as we think about that day when Christ returns, when we will eat together at his banquet table, we come to the table today. He said, take, eat this, drink this in remembrance of me. And he did it in anticipation of that day when he would eat it and drink it again with us in glory. And so today, as we take these elements, we want to remember that and look forward to that in anticipation. Pray with me, will you please? Father, Son, Spirit, thank you for giving us an invitation to your table, putting our name on the little card at our seat at your table. Thank you for including us in your life and love. We receive this gift through Jesus our Lord and by your Spirit. Amen. Jesus offered himself, his body for us. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift. And he allowed his blood to be poured out for us. His life for our life. Thank you, Jesus. So now, may our God, to whom you offer yourselves as living and holy sacrifices, bless you, hold you in his loving care, and bind you together in the unity of the Trinity, in whose image you are made. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Be sure to visit our blog site, lifeinthetrinity.blog. Check out our RCL-based group studies on the Life in the Trinity studies.wordpress.com page. We're in year A right now. So if you're interested in following that each week, you're welcome to do that. And be sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel. God bless.